Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
Good to see you, family. Good to see you. We are diving in. I love this series, if you know me at all. I love this series where we're just going to unpack God's ridiculous, overwhelming, chase after you, everyone for everywhere gospel message. So we're just going to be unpacking that. Kyle did a crazy good job last week, I thought. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to dive into Romans chapter 10, but I'm going to get us started with 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I love this. I feel like it can kind of set the tone for us today. And it simply says this. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Can I get an amen? Amen, man. He is patient with you, not wanting, this is his heart, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. So that's what we're going to be unpacking today. That's going to be this series. We're just going to be talking about God's sacrificial, just extravagant love for everyone everywhere. And this is going to seem overly simplistic, but even as I say everyone everywhere, I think this makes sense. But the gospel can't be for everyone everywhere and it not be for someone somewhere, right? Like at no point are you going to run into someone somewhere where you're going to be like, ah, man, I'm sorry. God's love just, man, I don't know, man. You did too much. You've gone too far. You ran your mouth. Have you seen your life? Have you seen your backdrop? Like, you don't have the pedigree. It's just, I'm sorry. Maybe it's for somebody else, but it's just not for you. At no point is the gospel for everyone everywhere not about also someone who is somewhere. And so we're going to talk about someone somewhere today. And the way that we're going to do that is we're going to open up with Paul, who has been set apart to take the gospel to the Jews. And a lot of people have questions about him, but he just wants to reveal his heart to us and to the people of the time. And so we're just going to dig in. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 just says this, says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites, it's this. It's that they may be saved. And Paul just says, hey, listen, I know that I was set apart to take the gospel to everyone everywhere, but I want you to know, of course, the Jews are my someone that lives somewhere. Like, Paul grew up as a Jewish kid. He ran the streets with Jewish friends. He had you know, a group of dudes that were like his dudes. He had fun. He grew up. He became a man of faith. He was like, listen, man, I'm telling you, nothing breaks my heart like watching the people that I love not receive the gospel. He's like, listen, when you talk everyone everywhere, everyone, when you talk to everyone, that can be faceless. He's like, well, when you talk about someone, someone has a name. Like, everyone can live kind of somewhere, but someone has to live somewhere, and that somewhere is the place that I know and that I love. And so he just goes in, chapter 10, verse 2, he says, for I can testify about them, the ones that I was raised with, the ones that are my people. I love them. I got a calling. But he says, listen, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. Like, man, I love them. You need to know I love them. I want them to come to Christ. But while they're zealous for God, their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they didn't know the righteousness of God and they sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And Paul just says, can I just time out? Can I tell you about my people? So like, I have people. Like, I know I have a calling, but I've got people. He says, it's not that they are, I don't know if you know them, but he's like, they're my people. And I just need you to know, they're good people. They're passionate people. They're people that, I love them. I just know them. And I would just say it like this. I would just say they're confident in the wrong stuff. They're righteous. They have a righteousness. Like, they have like a way or a thought about their soul and where they can really put their soul so that it can hold weight. And he just says, listen, they're trying to put their soul and allow it to hold weight on something that can't really hold them. They're just confident in the wrong stuff. So really quickly out of the gate, I can just say most of us, I don't know about you, but I have people. Anybody have people? Like, man, I got people. And it's like, yes, am I a pastor? Am I a believer? Am I like taking the gospel to everyone everywhere? Yeah, but at the end of the day, everyone everywhere turns into someone somewhere for me. And there are people that I love and there are people that I know, and people can talk bad about them, but don't talk bad about them to me, because they're my people, man. And so some of them just simply have their confidence in the wrong stuff. Like, some of them are, you know, they're people that are like, hey, you know, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna be a good person, man. I'm gonna work this thing out. They kind of have a works faith where like, I'm gonna be a good dude. I'm gonna try to be a good husband. I'm gonna try to be ethical at work. I'm gonna try to do the right thing. And I'm just gonna trust that that's gonna get me there in the end. And they kind of lean into like, hey, maybe I don't have a relationship with God, but they're kind of performing for God, but they're like, I'm confident I'm gonna be fine. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know that what I see that you can put confidence in your own goodness and your own works. I have people in my life that are from different religions. I don't know if you do, I do. And some of them, while I would say some of them are kind of exterior based, and some of them kind of take a little bit of gospel, but then there's always somebody who comes along, whether they got it in a cave with an angel one-on-one, or maybe they found it underneath a rock. It's a group of people. There's a faith that kind of sprung up from an individual. And I just look at them and I see the gospel, where it's, you've got an entire history to the beginning of time. You've got prophets, you've got kings, you've got 450 plus prophecies, more than that, that talk about Jesus and then Jesus and what he authorizes. And I'm just saying, I love you, but are you sure you can put a confidence in the faith that you carry? And for me, I just feel like they're putting their confidence in something that can't carry their souls. That's my opinion. I have some people that I love that are close to me that have crystals. Anybody know people that got crystals? And it's like, I don't know what a chakra is, guys. I don't know, but apparently it's a thing. And it's chakras and it's energy and it's spirit guides and it's deep meditation. It's always emptying yourself. And some people look from the outside and they're like, man, it's just placebo. Like, yeah, they're great people. And I would tell you, they're great people. I love them. And whether it's placebo and it's just like a lot of like just energizing self-talk, or if there's a real power behind maybe trying to help them live good, I'm just placebo or power. I'm like, I'm just telling you, for me, I don't trust either one, if I'm being honest. I don't trust self-talk for me to carry the weight of my soul and my kids. And I don't trust any spirit but God's spirit. And I'm always like, man, just be careful, man. That's your soul we're talking about. And so I'm just telling you, they're not the only ones. And then there's like the normal people that probably most of us interact with. And I would just call it like pop culture theology. You know, like they get their theology from TikTok, basically. And so you just ask them, man, you're just like, or like some talk show. And you're like, okay, so tell me about your faith. And they're like, I just think there's like, you're just like good and bad, and we just need to be good. And at the end, you know, then I'm like, what happens at the end? They're like, well, if you're good enough, you get, you know, I think you go, you know, maybe to like a heaven. I'm like, where do you get the concept of heaven? You know, the good place. It's kind of like Star Wars and the Force, then kind of like that. Okay. So then you go and you get wings. Yeah, you get wings. Where do you, okay. Just keep telling me more. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so who makes the call on who's bad and who's good and how they make it in? He's like, well, the Force does. I'm like, oh, the Force that we don't know about. Okay. So sometimes you just sit there for hours and you just listen to people talk about this. And then at some point, like, my smile just grows as I'm sitting there looking at them, because I love them, man. But I'm like, hey, bro, are you sure you want to put the weight of your soul and the weight of your kids' souls on a religion that, I love you, I'm pretty sure you just made it up. Are you sure that can hold the weight of your soul and your future and your kids and your hopes and your dreams and your eternity and your destiny and your purpose? And I'm always like, I don't know, man. That's just not what I see. That's not what I see historically. That's not what I see in life. And so I think Paul just leans into them and says, hey, listen, I want you to know, people that have just put your weight on something, I just want you to be careful. I don't think that's it. He says the gospel is for everyone everywhere. He says, now I know that you struggle with that, but the gospel is the good news of Jesus and where he came from, that he came down, that he laid down his life so we could be reconciled back to God. And he says, listen, you matter to me and you matter to God, and you're not those people, you're my people. In verse 4, he just says, and I just want to be crystal clear with what I believe you need to hear. He just says, verse 4, he says, Christ is the culmination of the law. so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So he's talking to his people with this specific faith, but he just says them like we would say to any of our people, listen, here's what I believe, man. There's one faith, there's one truth, there's one pathway, and it's better than performance and crystals. It's better than a religion that you come up for yourself. It's something that you can put your feet on. It's like bedrock. He says, and I just want you to know him, man, because it's killing me that you won't trust him. So here's what he does. In Romans chapter 10, he's about to unpack. I love that he does this. He's about to unpack 12, he's literally gonna quote 12 passages out of the Old Testament, and he's doing it to a primarily Jewish audience who they all knew. Like for us, we're gonna read through this and we're gonna like see one line and we're gonna be like, that's a good line. I don't understand the context, but you're just gonna read it for the way it is. But here's what he's doing. He's gonna have 12 quotes. In those 12 quotes, every Jewish person that grew up, they're like, oh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about this. So in order to kind of, it's gonna be a little bit to unpack. I think it's gonna go well. But in order to do that, here's what I'm gonna do. I have decided to grab 12 movie quotes from 12 movies that I think that you know, and you have to kind of simultaneously, as soon as you get it, you gotta just say it out loud. Y'all ready? I'm just exercising the muscles. I promise I'm going somewhere, just trust me, okay? So, first quote, here we go, y'all ready? Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, Forrest Gump. Good work, 1994, doesn't that make you feel old? Makes me feel old. Okay, next. Lord of the Rings, took you too long, but I love you, it's fine. Yeah, Lord of the Rings, next one. The Help, all the ladies answered. It's fine, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. Okay, next one. Back to the Future, Back to the Future. Some of you are really bad at this and it's okay. Okay, next one. Dirty Dancing, you grew up, you weren't allowed to watch it, were you? Some of you young people are like, what? It's fine, yeah. Next one, here we go, ready? Home Alone, come on. 1990, oh, I'm old, okay. Next one. Elf, oh, good work, proud of you. Next one, it's a tough one. Princess Bride, I'm so proud of you, you are intelligent, okay. Next one, ready? Braveheart, nothing like on 4th of July weekend, celebrating somebody who's turning from the Redcoats. You know what I'm saying? So, keep coming. Sandlot. Okay, next one. Oh, what we do in life echoes in eternity, y'all. It's just real. And the next one. To every man in the room, I'm sorry. I just outed you for watching that movie. So what did I do? I gave you one line, and if you just read it on its own, you're like, meh. But it's not one line to you, is it? It's not a line, it's connected to a story, and that story elicits an emotion. You can tell me what the movie was about and what was going on in your heart and whether you laughed and whether you cried and what the movie theater smelled like or what the person next to you smelled like. I don't know. Like, I can take you to a place with one phrase, and you go, oh, yeah, that's what Paul's about to do. So what Paul's about to do is he's about to grab some one-liners, and they are one-liners. And he's trying to stir something up in them. In one respect, he's trying to stir up truth. He wants to take them back to the passages that have so formed them and say to them, you know what I'm saying has always been true. But it's not just about truth. It's not just that it's true. He's also trying to stir up by grabbing some of those passages. Say, it's not just true. I want to stir up some passion from you. Because it's not just true. It should matter with your life what I'm telling you. And so he's about to go through these quotes. So here he goes. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, it says this. It says, Moses writes this about righteousness that is by the law. Quotes, the person who does these things will live by them. You read that and you go, okay. But see, every Jew is like, oh, he's quoting Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17 is the longest list of rules in all of the Old Testament. And it's sitting there going through. And not only is it the longest list, but he's grabbing a line. They know this. From the most complicated, the most kind of dicey, the most controversial section, which was when he laid out this is what sexuality was supposed to look like, and this is why you can't stray for it, because it will misform your heart. It was it's controversial now, it was controversial then. And so in that moment, he just says to them, hey, listen, I want to put something in your mind, and I just want to remind you that the righteousness by law, we couldn't live it then, and we can't live it now. We can't go back. We all know that's true, right? He says, we know that it's true. We couldn't keep the law, and now that we have Jesus, we're not going to keep the law. We have come to him by grace. Verse 6 goes on to say, but the righteousness that is by faith says, quote, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the message concerning the faith that we proclaim. And some of us read that with maybe a different set of eyes. If you're not rooted in the Old Testament, and you just go, where's Jesus going? Like, is he up? Is he down? Like, what are we talking about? But what he's doing is he's pulling the heartstrings of the ones that know the scriptures, that know this. He says, I'm trying to pull your heartstrings because I want to take you back to Deuteronomy 30. Because in Deuteronomy 30, it's just literally him unpacking and saying, listen, I've given you a bunch of laws, but it's like a child. We give you laws, but it's never about rules. It's always about your heart. It's always about the simple thing. It's always about who you're becoming. He says, listen, God says, listen, what I'm asking of you, it's not in the clouds. It's not mystery. It's not hidden away somewhere. This is what it is, Deuteronomy 30. He says, I'm putting before you life and death. And I'm just saying, if you will trust me, if you'll just trust me, then here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna choose life. Trusting me is choosing life. So just choose life so that you and your children can live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him. For the Lord, I promise you, he is your life. And he just leans into his brothers and sisters and says, you know it's true. It was never about rules. It's about you choosing life. It was choosing life so that your kids could be blessed and be whole. It's so your marriage could work and be amazing. It was so that you could have a relationship with the one who made you, so that you could be connected with him. The Lord is your life. It's always been, he tells them, it's always been about him, and you know it. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes, time out. Anyone. If he could put it in bold, I think he would. Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. He's pulling them back to Isaiah 28, where they recognize for the first time in the Old Testament, oh, this is for anyone? It's for anyone. He just says, hey, listen, man, it's always been about faith. It's always about someone longing after, finding, hungering, seeking, knocking, chasing. There has never been anyone on planet Earth who hasn't had a hunger for me where I didn't welcome him in. That's always been my heart. Verse 12, he says, for there's no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for a good Jewish person, they're like, oh, okay, now he's quoting my favorite passage. Like mine is Romans 8:19, if you haven't heard. For most Jewish people at the time, their favorite passage was Joel 2. Joel 2 was this amazing promise of what God was gonna do and how he was gonna treat them. And this is, if you read through it, this is kind of how it goes. I'll skip over a couple of verses, but Joel 2:12 says this, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Even now, even after you've blown it, even though you've made mistakes, even though you've done everything you've done, if you would just now return to me, man, with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, if you'd rend your heart, I don't care about your garments. I've never cared about the outside. Return to the Lord your God, because this is who he is. He's so gracious and he's compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. And here's what I'll do. I will pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you're not picking up what he's putting down, he's trying to say, listen, I need you to know it has always been God's heart for people. And I don't care if you read, if you just read from Genesis through Malachi, you will find the same thing that is true in Jesus. He's just the fulfillment of it, that God's heart has been to pursue people. Brothers, sisters, Jewish brothers and sisters, this is not where the promises of Abraham stop. This is where they get fulfilled. This is where we step in. This is where we return to him with our hearts. This is the time that the prophets and the angels and the kings longed for, the day when we would be filled with the Spirit, anointed by him with promise of Jesus ahead of us and the cross, like paying for our debt, that we could walk and we can even do this in grace. We don't even have to be perfect. Where we get to step up and be the sons and daughters of God and to take our place and to recognize what was lost in the garden can be found again. You were made to know him, and he is now knowable. Can you feel him stirring them up? He's stirring them up. And then he's not done. I love this. He leans in. Verse 14, I feel like he leans in, and it's almost like he says this. It's like, and if what I just said is true, like if it's really everyone, if it's always been that way, and if we were the first ones to get to be a part of that, and we now get to be a part of that, then he says, if this is true, by the way, it is. Verse 14, then how? How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in, and how can they believe in one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach or share or carry the good news to somebody unless somebody sends them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Isaiah 52. So it just says, hey, listen, how is the good news for everyone, everywhere, ever going to get to someone somewhere unless somebody takes it? It's like you just need to remind them of their purpose, and you need to remind them of what's true. That's not about us sitting and thinking and arguing. It's about us being sent to carry the good news of the gospel to everyone, everywhere. So I went on this trip to Scotland. I just got back like 3 weeks ago, and I got a phone call from an Irish friend of mine. His name's Jasper. Jasper gave me a call, and he said, hey man, I got the trip of a lifetime. Pastors are lined up, but one of them canceled, and I can slide you in, but you just gotta say yes today. I'm like, what am I saying yes to? And he's like, we got a spot, and here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna meet, we'll just fly into Ireland, and we're gonna go over to Scotland, and we're gonna travel through the Hebridean Isles, and we're gonna retrace revival history from the 500s and the 1900s. I'm like, kind of sign me up. So I go on this trip, and I'm excited. I'm excited to get over, and I just want God to open my mind and open my eyes, because I know the history. These are the two revivals that shook the planet. It's the only two revivals that came out of one place, and they really were worldwide revivals. I want to see what happened and how it happened and when it happened. And I just want to see it, man. So I get over there, and I start diving in. And so I find this guy. I'm on the Isle of Iona studying the guy from the 500s. This is a cross from the 500s, y'all. Can you believe that? That's old. Some of you are old. You're not that old. And I'm just telling you, this little ring around the cross, where they are, it's so windy. It's like out at the very edge of what they knew to be. They thought it was the edge of the world literally at the time. And this ring they put around that cross is because the storms were so crazy that the crosses kept breaking. And so they put that on there. That's how rugged it was. But it wasn't just the rugged weather. It was the rugged people, and the people would lose their lives. And so they would just went out. And so they would get together, and they would huddle together, and they would just pray. St. Columba would pray and just go, man, we got to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And then all of a sudden they look up and they're like, I think there's another island in that direction. So let's pray. Let's grab two people. We're going to get you in a boat. I know the waves are like 30 foot high. We're going to go ahead and pack your stuff in a casket in case it doesn't work out. And we're just going to send you on your way. Go take the gospel, because Jesus said, take it to the end of the earth. And we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray every day. We're gonna pray faithfully for you as you go. And somewhere prayer and evangelism, they just started taking it. And if they didn't hear from them for a while, they just grabbed another people, two people that are like, it probably didn't work out. Maybe the waves, or maybe the people, so we'll just send another. And I was so humbled by a group of people who really believed that the gospel was for everyone everywhere, that they put their whole lives on the line. This is another picture of the church. It's a church from the 600s, 700s. In this place, they just, while everybody was being sending, there was a group of people that would just sit there and just like almost 24 hours a day, they'd just pray and pray and pray. God, we need your power. We can't do this on our own. We got to pray. So prayer and evangelism. And so I get done with Scotland, y'all. I'm like filled up, and I'm like, I'm going to wear people out by the time I get home. Like, I'm so excited to share what I saw, and I get ready to come home. And I think the thing that I need to learn is the gospel is for everyone, everywhere. And then I met this guy named Jasper. Well, I already knew him. But as I spent some time with Jasper, he's like, hey, when you come in, I'm gonna, a couple days at my house, and then we'll go, and then we'll come back to my house. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So as soon as I get off the plane, I'm a little jet lagged. He throws me in a car, and he's like, dude, I got somewhere I wanna show you. I'm like, okay, what is it? He's like, I'm not telling you, man. I'm like, okay, he's super fun. And so we drive, and we ride, and we go up halfway up this mountain. It's like rain and cold. I'm like, better be good, bro. So he keeps going up, and so we start walking through some field. I'm like, is this your field? And he's like, no. I'm like, is this legal? And he's like, okay, let's go. So there's like these rock, you know, those like super cool rock, like wall things. I'm describing that really well. He just starts jumping over there. I'm like, bro, are you sure this is good? He's like, it's good. So he just starts hopping, and all of a sudden we get up to this top of this kind of overlook, and we look down on the city. And he's like, I wanted to bring you up here because this is where I pray for my country, man. This is where I pray for my city, and this is where I pray for my home, and this is where I pray for my kids' friends who have yet to come to Christ. And he just grabbed, there's this fence post, and he kind of grabbed it, and he grabbed a rope, and he tied it together, and he put some rocks together, and he's just building it while we're sitting there praying. It's just, that was super humbling to me. I don't know why. And I just sat there with my friend. And I did, man. He's proud of his country. He just prayed for his country, and he prayed for revival among the young people in his country, and he prayed for his home, and he prayed for men, and he prayed for women, he prayed for marriages. And I just sat there, and I'm just telling you, we were up there for so long, and it was so humbling to me. They weren't just everyone everywhere. These were someone to him. And they lived not anywhere, they lived somewhere. He knew. Then we get down in the car and we start driving. As we drive, I'd be with him, and we just, you know, we'd stop. We're already on the wrong side of the road, so I'm a little freaked out. But slam on the brakes. He's like, dude, you gotta meet this guy. And he's yelling out you gotta meet this guy. Okay, this guy's not, he's like, you know, as the guy's coming, he's like, this guy's not a believer. You gotta say something good. I'm like, bro. So that's a lot of pressure. So he comes over and he's like, you know, and he's like, man, I'm trying to win that guy. And we'd drive away praying for him. And we go in this coffee shop. I try to talk about just normal things. He's like, okay, man, yeah, so there's this church. I'm trying to get these churches together because it's not just about one church, it's about the church, and I just love the church. And so he's just doing that, and then I'm just hearing about how he's just doing anything he can. And then I get to his house, and as I get to his house, he's like, would you mind, we're getting ready to grab dinner. My daughter has a couple friends, you know, I was like, yeah, man. So they all come down. And he's like, you know, it's kind of a setup. He's like, hey, would you mind praying for us? I was like, yeah. He's like a real prayer. I'm like, yeah. He's like, really, just pray. I'm like, bro, what are you trying to say, man? You think I don't have real prayers? So I did. So I got to know the girls' names that they're standing, you know, Shannon's friends. And I'm like, hey, girls. And so I just pray. So I pray. So I'm like praying over people. I'm like, okay, you asked for it, man. I'm bringing it. Like, I'm praying. I get done. Everybody's kind of emotional. The girls kind of slip out of the room. And I'm like, what just happened? He's like, oh, they're not even believers. I didn't want to tell you. That was awesome. I'm like, oh, man. He's like, that was so awesome because they're going to come to Christ, and we just believe and we know. I need to be reminded of the truth that the gospel's for everyone everywhere. I need today to remember that there are some someones who live somewhere, and I know them. Look, I know our country can be crazy sometimes, but I'm proud of our country, and I want a revival in our country. And I know I'm not alone. And I long to be one of the people who will regularly peel away somewhere. Maybe we're building crosses. It's like a new thing. I might start doing it. We just say, no, I got my feet planted in this ground, and God, I want you to show up in my country. I love my country, man. And you know what? I live in a city of Louisville, and she's a quirky girl. But man, I love her. And I've been here 18 years, and the Lord has given me a supernatural love for this city. And so many of you, same thing. And he put us in this city at this time with this specific purpose. And it's just not just gospel. I hope somebody figures it out. No, these are our someones. These are our somewheres. I live in the least masculine town you've ever heard in your life called Pee Wee Valley. Every time I ride it, I lose a piece of my soul. But it's my town. It's our town. My kids, your kids go different places. Mine go to Camden Station. I got so many kids. I got Camden Station. I got South Middle. I've got South High. I've got a couple colleges. And my heart goes to those places. Why? Because you are my someone. And you are my somewhere. And God's just reminding me just the power of planting our feet and not just being like, yeah, it's great that it's everybody. No, who's your someone? Who's your somewhere? Because right in the middle of that mix, you've got a people where this is real. In my world, any one of them, any one of them who put their trust in him will never be put to shame. Every single one in my world that I walk into every day, every one of them, if they would just call upon the name of the Lord, y'all, they would be saved. They'd find out who they are. They'd walk into a relationship with him. It would change everything in their whole world. It's the best thing that could ever happen to them. Travis, I was sitting there watching that story. Aren't you glad he was someone? Aren't you glad that somebody just said, man, you're not just somebody, you're my somebody. Paul just says, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful. Like heaven looks down when they see us carrying the gospel and they see radiant, beautiful, covered by grace because we're not perfect, but beautiful feet. Beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful. So here's what I want to do. Two things. Number one, I just want to notice that in the room, some of you in this room, you have been putting your faith and hope on something that will not carry your soul. And I just want you to know, man, he loves you. Loves you extravagantly. And if you will put your trust in him, you will never, ever ask anybody here be put to shame. Be the best decision of your life. But then there's another group. There's another group that even as I talk, you know, like me, that man, I've been living here, but I need to be reminded today of the truth of everyone everywhere. And I need to be reminded to walk into, love on, care for, open my eyes and my attention and my affection for the ones who are my someones who live in my somewhere. So what I wanna do, if that's you today, the passage literally said, it said, how can they call if they haven't believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear without somebody going to them and talking to them about the good news? And how can anybody do that unless they're sent? Here's what I wanna do. Some of you, I wanna send you. If you feel like today, man, I need to step into my someones, I need to step into my somewhere, and I need God's power to do it. If that's you, I'm just gonna ask you to pray, and I'm gonna pray a prayer over you. So if that's you, just stand to your feet, and I'm just gonna pray over you. If you have a someone, if you have a somewhere, and you just want to be sent with the power of God to take the gospel, how beautiful are the feet? I'm just gonna pray over you. You can put your hands out like this. I legit think prayer works. So this is about to go down. So Father, I pray right now over your kids, over my friends, Father, that you would beautify their feet. Father, that you'd make them like Jesus, that they would have this increased supernatural ability to just be present. Father, they would be available, that they would be observant, that they would recognize, that they would see people the way Jesus sees people. Father, I pray that they would learn a new dependency as they open their eyes and observant, because they're gonna start feeling like, I can't do it, and they're right. We don't save people, you save people. So Father, as they're dependent, then I ask that you would help them to just be normal. They don't have to be someone that they're not. They just get to be the redeemed versions of themselves, that they would be real. Father, I pray that you would allow them to be forgettable. Father, that as they step in to carry the gospel, that it would never be about them, but Father, that you'd give them humility, that you would allow them to be truthful. God, I pray like Jesus, that you would allow them in their conversations to speak burning words that people cannot ignore. And then Father, I pray that you just mark them with sacrifice, because it's gonna cost. And Father, I pray that you would stir up faith. It's what we were made for. But Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would look down from heaven truly and see this body and say, wow, now those are some beautiful feet. We want to be the ones who carry your gospel wherever you call us. We pray that in the strong name of Jesus. Everyone said,
amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our Sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.